Hi there, I'm Dr. Mirdalis Diaz Ramirez, and this is the Design Your Physician Life podcast brought to you by our Max Salary Mastermind, a personal and professional development program for physicians. Today, we're going to be talking about your vision. We're going to be talking about designing your defining your own cloud with Dr. Lori Bosch from Green Cloud Apparel. Are you ready? Let's go.
Welcome to the Design Your Physician Life podcast, where you will get excited about being a physician, learn the tools that can help boost your success, and great tips from successful doctors. Join us to unlock the keys to an amazing physician life. And now, here's your host, Dr. Mirdalis Diaz Ramirez.
Hey guys, I'm extremely excited. Today, we have Dr. Lori Bosch, and she says that she's a wife, a dog mom, an athlete, an emergency medicine physician, a combat veteran, and founder of Green Cloud. And all of these make her better at each of them, actually. She is the creator behind all those wonderful scrubs that you see me wearing many times in some of my social media posts. And we're very happy and honored to have you here today, Dr. Bosch. How are you?
Thank you so much, Dr. Diaz. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, it's, you know, we're going to get into the fashion because we all ladies here, I'm pretty sure most of us really like fashion. And I cannot tell you how many compliments I get. Just yesterday, I was wearing the scrubs. I went to this pharmacy and they said, oh my goodness, I love those scrubs. Like I know they're scrubs, but they look so stylish. Like we'll get there. We'll get there. But first you say, you know, you're quite a few things. You're a wife, dog mom, athlete, emergency medicine physician. And what came first? You're a combat veteran too.
Yeah. So what came first? Probably being an athlete was that started at an early age. I'm a very competitive person and I love sports. I was a swimmer as long as I can remember. I've probably swam more than I've walked on earth. Over the years, because I swam all through college, and still do. It's such a great sport, but that
any particular style,
freestyle was, you know, my best. But you know, I love all of them and mixing them up. And so that taught me time management, teamwork, you know, some of the things I have to use today. And so that's still such a big part of me. I may not compete as much, but being an athlete really is probably the earliest of those things on my list.
Have you coached anyone?
I found out I'm not a good coach. My husband, when we met, was like, oh,
swim harder. Come on.
You're such a great swimmer. You can give me some lessons. And I really was horrible at giving lessons because it just sort of comes naturally after so many years that I don't think about it. So I'm not a very good coach in swimming.
That's funny. Yeah. I say like, I could never be really a good kids teacher. You know, I would have a Velcro wall and I would just put them up there and then just, I don't know what I would do.
Yeah.
I won't do that. Anyways. So now eventually came emergency medicine, but who got inspired to be a physician? Was it like little Lori or was it teen Lori? Was it during your swimming that maybe something sparked it on you?
It was actually in college. So I wasn't like one of those young, you know I want to be a doctor. No one in my family is a physician. But my dad had to take my car. So when I started college, I started actually with engineering as my major, and we weren't allowed to leave our car on campus. So I drove down to UC San Diego. My dad was in Arizona. He came over to pick up my car and we were walking around and I wanted to show him the pool and the library at UCSD is amazing. So we're walking around this very hilly campus and he kept having to stop. And he literally was like clutching his chest. And, you know, I'm 18 years old and I have no idea, besides he doesn't look right, what was going on because he wasn't telling me what was bothering him. But when he drove home with my car and then went immediately to an emergency department and had quadruple bypass the next morning, at the age of 45. So an impact, something like that was like so powerful that when I started all these engineering classes, I was like, this is not doing it for me. And I switched over to biochemistry pretty quick. So I think that was kind of the moment where I was like, wait a second, I want to do something where I can help people. Yeah. So that was a pretty powerful moment.
My goodness. So when you went to medical school, did you already know that you wanted to be an emergency room physician?
Oh, no. I was 100% set on being OBGYN.
I'm going to interrupt you, but how did your father do after the?
He did well. I mean, okay. Yeah, he did okay. He survived that. So, yeah. So, but that we'll talk. That kind of led to some other things later on of my interests. So, I was 100% set on OBGYN. That the first 2 years, like any male anatomy stuff, I was like, I don't need to learn this. You know, just like just focused on women's health. And then when I started third year, my very first rotation was surgery. And I got beat up so bad on that rotation. I didn't even consider surgery. I was like, there's no way I could handle this. Like they would destroy me. They destroyed me in a month with, you know, the pimping and just the way I was treated. I didn't feel at all like I belonged there. And they just made me feel really bad every day. So I was like, that's not an option. And so surgery sort of became less desirable. And when I actually got to my OBGYN rotation, the docs just convinced me not to do it. They just weren't happy. And it's sad that just a few docs that I was working with, you know, kind of changed the trajectory of my life, but I'm very happy I ended up in emergency medicine and it just fits me. It allowed me to do more than medicine since, you know, you have your shift work and you have the time off where you really don't need to be connected at the hospital. So I'm very happy I ended up in emergency, but it wasn't what I thought I was going to go into.
Oh my goodness. And did you do any emergency work as a, you know, in the military in any way?
Yes, yeah, so I did the military offers an HPSB scholarship. So they pay for your medical school and then you have to apply to military residencies, which I did. And then I was in the Army. So I matched in Texas for emergency medicine. And so I trained with the military. So yeah, that was, you know, I remember when I was signing up.
How about the male anatomy?
I had to go back and learn that. I missed it in med school, but I eventually caught up. Yeah, but I remember when I signed up for the scholarship, my mom was like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I can't afford the loans are crazy. And I just like, this is nice. They pay for everything. They pay for your housing. They pay for books, you know, it's no big deal. I just owe them, you know, a few years after. And she's like, but what if we go to war? And, you know, 23-year-old me who knows everything was like, we haven't really been in a big war since Vietnam. We don't do that anymore. We just like take care of things. And then, you know, we don't get ourselves into major wars. So I certainly ate those words a few years later because I was an intern when 9/11 happened. I was on my ortho rotation and you mean, everyone remembers exactly where they were when 9/11 happened. And I remember thinking, what have I done? I am in the military. I'm in emergency medicine. I'm in trouble.
Yeah. And what did your mom tell you? I told you.
She was really nervous and was like,
was I telling you? I told you.
Poor mom. I put her through so much because later on, obviously, I did have to deploy. You're safe when you're a resident. They can't deploy you because that will just mess up your training. So I'm safe for the next 2.5 years, right? So I was an intern. So until I graduated and took my boards, I was safe, but literally it feels like the day after, but probably within a few weeks of finishing my boards, I got my letter for deployment in the mail. And so, yeah, it just
can tell us about that deployment.
So, you know, you don't, I didn't know much about the military, obviously. But I learned very quickly. So, because even in training, my job in residency was to learn emergency medicine. We did a few, you know, a few training events, but really we were just focusing on learning emergency medicine. And so when I got the letter, I had to report to Fort Carson in Colorado Springs on this day. And they obviously can't tell you where you're deploying to. But when I arrived, there were about 300 of us in the unit, and it was very top heavy, meaning lots of colonels and lieutenant colonels. I was a captain. And so I knew we were like going to somewhere like a bigger place, because there were just too many higher ranking soldiers there. So again, you know, we did training for about 10 weeks. That's where I learned to fire a weapon. We learned hands-on combatives, where you're like learning wrestling moves. And I'm thinking, what in the hell am I doing? I'm the only female physician. So, when I trained, I was the only female physician in my class. Now I'm the only female physician deploying. I just felt like a fish out of water. I did bond with some of the nurses. So we had like our little support group, which is so important, and battle buddy, which is so important. But I just felt a little out of place. So, you know, we end up in Kuwait, and then in the middle of the night, they wake us up and say, go get on a helicopter. We're going. And we landed in Baghdad, and I ended up going to Ibn Sina, which is in the green zone, which is the busiest trauma center in all of Iraq. And I was there 2005, 2006, which was one of the craziest times. So I can't describe what we saw. It was so horrible, the trauma. But we did a lot of good, and that's all I can focus on, because otherwise you can't, like, how do you get past what you saw? So that's a crazy time of my life. I describe it as the best time and the worst time kind of mixed together, because I was able to save so many lives. But war is just horrendous. Horrible. It's horrendous. Yeah.
You know, as physicians, and not only as physicians, as anybody who's in the middle of the war too, but just going back to the fact that you were from an intern resident, and suddenly you're a captain of a business that you know nothing about, right? Like, you don't know warship, right? You don't know warfare.
Yeah, you
stuff.
Can't get that training.
And then you're a captain now, directing people of things that they put you in a position without really the adequate training, because maybe 10 weeks to suddenly be a captain is not really good enough. And then when you're going to deal with these other things that emergency medicine physicians deal, I mean, at a much lesser scale than when you do at a war, but still you're dealing with going from bay to bay to bay, where you have your emotional ups and downs, you know, and they don't get us ready for that either as physicians. Doesn't matter if it's in of the war, which is way worse, or you know, daily living. You as emergency room physician are dealing with these emotions regularly as well, just heightened to, you know, 100x times in the war. I can't imagine.
No, it was, and we were still pretty early in the war. So it wasn't like there were a lot of docs that had already deployed once and were now with us. So during the training, I was leading some of the classes, because I'm ATLS certified, and you know, I'm board certified in emergency medicine. And yes, I had trauma experience from level one trauma centers, but I didn't know what I was talking about. I mean, and we learned very quickly, and you do a right seat, left seat, or left seat, right seat kind of thing when you get over there, where the team that's been there for a year to 15 months trains you for a few days and, you know, gets you ready, and they start seeing the patients with you, and trauma comes pretty quick. You know, it's tourniquets and start blood and pain control and the central lines and chest tubes and intubations, and then decide what surgeons need to be taking this patient to the operating room, right? Because it's multi-trauma from blast injuries. So is it ortho and surgery and ENT, or ortho and surgery and ophthalmology? You know, you're just coordinating. We're figuring out in the trauma bay who needs to be involved in the OR. And because it's almost always mass casualty situations, because it's almost never just one or two, it's, you know, a large amount at once that get hit. Who goes first, second, third? So you learn very quickly. And we had such an incredible team. And, you know, as they come in, everyone's downstairs helping. And then as the patients go up into the operating room, once we've cleared the emergency department, I can go up there and help, you know, help ortho or however. Like you would see ophthalmologists hanging the blood, and I mean, everyone worked together.
That takes the concept of see one, do one, teach one to a way different level. Like you're already like teaching immediately of, you know.
Yeah. No,
and the team's concept, you know, it's just like it's a survival literally.
Yeah. Amazing. No, it was that part was the medicine where we all worked together was really that part was beautiful. What we saw was tragic, but working together to save these lives. We had a 97% survival rate. So if a soldier or a Marine came to us alive, 97% we would be able to keep them alive. And they did not have minor injuries. I mean, we're talking multi-limb amputations and head injury, so much traumatic brain injury, and I mean, major injuries.
Well, thank you for your service all the time that you were there. And are you in contact still with your team these days?
I talk with a few, but it was such a tough time in my life that it was much easier when I came back to sort of put that in a box in the back of my closet and just not think about it and get out of the military, go civilian life and just start the next chapter.
Well, we see a couple of things already in your story that never say never, right? Never say never, you're not going to go to war. Never say never not to learn the male anatomy. And there you are with just men. And, you know, and well, we can say that never say never. Well, maybe teaching as a coach, you're never going to do that one.
Yeah. Not swimming, maybe.
Not swimming. Then you came back and you've been an emergency room physician here. Right now you're in Miami.
Yes.
Tell us about your career transitioning from that area to your emergency medicine, doing your emergency medicine, and then finding like curiosity in other things outside medicine.
Yeah. So I come back, transition to civilian life, which was a little bit difficult because, you know, in the military, it's not about the charting and coding and getting so many review systems.
Oh, no prior authorization to do that limb salvage procedure.
So that part was a little bit tough, but, you know, we're kind of built to adapt. So I really did enjoy emergency medicine until I didn't. And so I did community medicine where I would kind of do three or four shifts. And then my husband and I would go to Europe for 10 days. And then I'd come back and do another five or six shifts. And we had this like amazing couple years where, you know, I thought that was like what it was going to be the rest of my life. But as medicine sort of changed more business and cuts were happening with nursing staff and pushing the docs to see so many patients per hour, I felt like the care I was giving was being sacrificed. And I didn't like that feeling. So at that point, I decided to try academics. And I really did develop a renewed passion and love for medicine when I got into teaching. So I went over to Mount Sinai in Miami and spent the next about 7 years there. And
Come on. You just don't know how to teach swimming, but you know how to teach medicine.
Okay. So I did teach medicine. Yeah. I was okay at that. And I really did enjoy that. Maybe not so much the research and lecturing is, you know, it's difficult to make it look easy, but I tried really hard. And I enjoyed that until I started getting a little bit burned, even in academics, because I didn't know how to say no. you know, residents would come to me and say, hey, I have this idea for a research project. Great. I mean, how can you say no to a resident who's enthusiastic? But before I knew it, I was working like a resident. And after so many years being a little bit older, I was like, I need to graduate with one of these classes. Like, I'm tired. They only have to go through this for 3 years and then they, you know, go have a nicer life. So at that point, I decided I want to do something else. And I wasn't sure if I was completely done with medicine. I didn't know, but I knew I had to say I'm done. I didn't know what I was going to do next. And that's scary because it's not like I have all the resources in the world to do what I want. You know, I mean, I've had to work and kind of create everything I have at this point in my life. So I decided with my husband, you know, it was agreeing that I'm going to put in my notice at work and I'm going to figure something else out.
Is he in the medical field?
No. And he doesn't get it. He's like, but you're a doctor. I mean, there's nothing more noble. You get to help people. And I'm like, yes. And I love that part. But the other things within medicine are crushing me. And he could see the stress. So he just wanted me to be happy. So he supported it, but was probably a little nervous, like, okay, but what are we going to do? You know? So I put in my notice, not knowing, but I certainly didn't sit idle. I started, you know, brainstorming. And this idea of Green Cloud has been there from the very beginning. I mean, I had to wear a uniform in the military. I had to wear the hospital OR scrubs that were ridiculous, you know, made for men in the operating room, where you have to fold them down 3 or 4 times. Otherwise, the crotch is down to your knees. And so this idea of, you know, I like to feel good and kind of have a little bit of style in what I'm wearing. And I wasn't able to, you know, for the 8 years in the military. And then the hospital scrubs I was wearing, that idea kept resurfacing. And I would just tell myself, no, you know nothing about fashion. Like, I've had friends in the past that wanted me to go on What Not to Wear. Do you remember that TV show, What Not to Wear?
Yes.
They wanted me on that. So I was like, come on, just stay in your lane. You're not like, you don't know what you're doing. So when I put in my notice, that idea came back up.
And I have an idea to get the people from What Not to Wear to get to you now.
That's so funny. That would be great. I don't even know. Yeah, they haven't been on in a while, but
I think that's going to be homework. It has to be homework.
And we should find Karen, who is the one that wanted, she may have even nominated me.
We'll get Karen. We'll do a What Not to Wear to the OR.
It's edition, so funny.
Special edition.
So when I took this idea and decided to run with it, I mean, all the skills we have from learning to be a physician, we have the skills to start a business, right? And if it's something you love and you get excited about and you could talk about it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you get it done. So I found a design team in Miami that's amazing, that I still work with. And I've added members to our team slowly. And so now we just have such a strong force going that the momentum is really exciting at this point. We're still young, but it's pretty exciting.
So let's take Green Cloud as a step-by-step thing. Let's dissect Green Cloud's history, right? You have the idea, you know, like you were feeling like many of us have felt, but you decided to act upon it, despite your Karen's opinion, right? And then you said, okay, I'm going to do this. What were your first steps? You know, did you start designing first yourself? Did you open a company first? Did you do the research first? What came first for you?
I started asking so many questions. So I had some friends in the fashion world. And so I would just, let's go to lunch. Would you mind meeting? Let me take you to lunch. I want to just start asking some questions. Do you know anyone? What do you think about this? And I mean, I didn't ask a lot of people because I was afraid they would say, That's a crazy idea, which is what I told myself for 20 years, right? So I asked a few people that I kind of knew would really support and help me go in the right direction. And so that small group ended up getting me to this design team of women that it was like meant to be. So while we, and I already had pictures of a few items, but nothing in the collection, you know, that we have today. Everything has changed like from the very beginning, because it took about 2 years from I'm going to do this until we opened. And so during that time, in the very beginning, I worked on the design, but at the same time, you really have to start branding the company because it's more than just scrubs, right? It's what is this? What is the purpose of me doing this? Because there are now nice scrub companies out there. There are a lot of nice scrub companies out there. And I bought those and I felt okay in them. I didn't like love them, but I did okay with wearing those. And so, but I had this urge, like, I want more than just to make beautiful scrubs that feel great and look amazing. I want women to feel more confident and more courageous when they put these on. So they stand a little bit taller, they speak a little bit louder, and maybe that will change the culture just a little bit so that when a woman goes into their third year and surgery is their very first rotation, maybe they won't get so beat up. It's a grand dream I have, but if I can make one person, and I think I have, feel a little bit more confident, then that is green cloud.
I'm in awe. I'm in shock. You know, like just thinking about you going through residency and not wanting now people to feel like that when they go through residency. And I know how I feel when I put the scrubs on, because it's a different feeling. Like, yes, it gives you a different sense. You know what? I'm wearing this, which is at a different level than the regular scrubs that everybody else is wearing. And it does give you a little bit of sense of power, you know, for fashion, it increases your confidence. So I can attest to that.
Yeah. And now imagine if you're going to give a lecture or something and you walk in a room and you see a couple others wearing green cloud and you're like, I know you, I've got you. You know, like that's what we want to create. And everything we do, we want to give back to women in medicine. I don't want to take a salary from this company. I still work. I want this to be a movement. So, I mean, I have big dreams. I hope we can make it work. I've messed up in a few things, you know, and that's maybe I shouldn't say I've failed, you know, I'm pivoting.
Tell me one entrepreneur who hasn't learned from that process.
Right. So, you know, and now the more team members I bring on, it flows much better, right? Because then you have that sounding board of, what do you think of this? Well, let's wait. We're not quite ready for that. Or, you know, so that in the beginning, I was making these decisions without that sounding board. And it's so much nicer to be surrounded by women that can help you. Yeah.
So you have come from an idea, your passion, your why. You then acquire knowledge, asking people, doing that, you know, getting like some coaching from your friends for the business. And then going through the different processes of not only the creative process, but doing the actual pieces and then marketing them.
Yes.
Are you building everything in the United States? Have you outsourced anything?
So we started with everything in New York. And that was I love keeping everything in the US, but I don't love charging a really high amount for scrubs, because I do want more women to be able to wear them. So if from a business side, if you were to look at our costs, you know, because we import the material from Japan is so special. Our jacket materials from Italy, recycled nylon, like we sourced for a long time to get this just right. And then, you know, yes, let's manufacture in New York. But then looking at, okay, but this is what I want to sell max price point, because I don't feel good about going above that. I'm paying you to wear my scrubs. It didn't quite make sense. But the first round we did in New York, and we still do our jackets and sweatshirts in New York because we could make those margins work. And then we found amazing manufacturing companies in Dominican Republic and El Salvador, which is, they're our neighbors in Miami. So our team has been to both locations multiple times, and we feel very good about responsibly manufacturing with neighbors. So our margins now work. The quality is impeccable. So we're happy with how we're running it now.
Okay. So imagine that I'm not going to be doing scrubs, but I might be doing now suits. Okay. Which is going to be a different business than yours. And I ask you, hey, Lori, how do you find about like fabric? You're getting fabric from Italy and you're getting fabric from Japan. How do I find about that? Where do I go? Which trade shows do I visit?
Right. So that's one way you can do it, is just search trade shows and try to find some that fit your schedule and maybe the right location, or go to the biggest ones, you know, or you can find a team like I did, who this is what they majored in, you know, in school, and this is their passion. This is what they breathe and live. And they've been to all these trade shows and they have samples of their favorite materials. I mean, when I sat down with my design team, I mean, I can't even tell you how many meetings we had over the material. The table was laid out with so many different materials, you know, and it was bamboo and, you know, organic cotton and, you know, but I know scrubs. Okay. I may not be that expert in fashion, but I know that they can't shrink. There has to be minimal wrinkle, right? They can't be see-through. Like, I mean, I knew what I needed.
Well, it depends which type of medicine you're practicing. Yeah. You want them to see through.
Well, again,
what type of healing you're doing.
This was what I wanted. Like what, because again, you have to stick with, you know, so if you're starting suits, it's what are you can't make a suit for everyone. So you're going to make a suit that you really like to dress. You know, who are you dressing? I'm dressing women in medicine that want to be powerful and speak up and stand out, right? Like, you're not going to wear maybe a fancy shirt and feel comfortable if you don't want to stand out a little bit. And so I'm not everyone's going to love my brand. And so that's one of the first things, is saying, who are you as a company and what are you creating and who are you creating it for?
Who you're creating it for, like, let's talk about body shapes and tall heights and all this stuff. How do you choose that part? Because, you know, I'm short and they're a little bit long on me and stuff, but then you have this height. How do you reach your right size or shape of the scrub?
Yeah. So we have petite, regular, tall lengths to try to get, you know, 5 feet, maybe even a little under 5 feet. To 6 feet. And then we've created 3 different pants and 4 different tops. So I feel like with those, and we really did try to go to target all women. So some people may be a cargo jogger person, and some people be like, oh my God, I hate joggers. Right. And then, so then we have like the tapered leg, not tight. I didn't want anything constricting. We have now the right pant that is, you know, kind of tapered in the leg a little bit with an elastic waist. And then we have the traditional Blackwell pants with the drawstring that's a wide leg. So I feel like now we do have a collection where everyone that wants to wear Green Cloud can find something. You just may have to try a few pieces to find what you like.
From the time that you register your company, mm-hmm. until you became profitable, are you, what's the timeline for you?
So
where it could sustain itself, like breaking even every month, that, you know,
I would say we'll get there. We're almost there. I mean, I put a lot in the beginning because I did hire a design team. You can do this on your own. You can go to the trade shows, find your fabric, find a manufacturer on your own, and maybe fly there, meet with them, have them make the designs and grade it and everything. I decided to hire a team to make my tech packs, which I own. So that I can now go to any manufacturer.
What's a tech pack?
A tech pack would be, okay, so here's the Blackwell pants. And this is exactly, so I could send that to any manufacturer and it's their recipe book. So they will know exactly how to cut them, what length the drawstring, how to sew, because we're very particular with the stitching. I mean, it's the details that matter, right? So, but they will know how to, if whoever I send this to, I should get the exact same pants back from any manufacturer. If I just call someone, let's say in Thailand, and set up a meeting and tell them I want scrubs, this design, you know, like you really need a good tech pack so that they get it right. Otherwise, one manufacturer is going to make it one way, another may make it a different way, and then you're not consistent.
That's wonderful. I want to know what green cloud means.
So in medicine, we're very superstitious, right? So are you a black cloud or a white cloud?
Oh, always a white cloud.
Yeah. Okay. So I don't believe in that. And I never did, because I kind of think we can create our own destiny. And so I kind of played on that. I said, you know what? I've never really fit in, the only female in residency, the only female in deployment. I'm going to be my own color cloud. And I thought about pink cloud instead of green cloud. But then I thought, you know what? Green is health and harmony and good for the environment. And I just love that. And maybe we will include men at some point. I think we will. So I went with green cloud. But I have to tell you, because early when you're working on designing and branding, I maybe didn't think it through, because green cloud, nobody knows what the hell green cloud means. They think it's like a marijuana company or something. And then I have to explain, are you a black cloud or a white cloud? And maybe the younger generation doesn't even use that anymore. But we're going with it. We're green cloud.
We're definitely superstitious in medicine. Yes. That there's no way around. Like you never say you've had a good day until you're done with it.
Exactly.
Never ever say that until the very end. So you know, there's quite a few things. So the green cloud, the white cloud, that's awesome. Yeah, and I can see the marijuana. Yeah, that would be a great marijuana brand too. No, but I really like the name. There's tons of names that really have, you know, nothing to do with what you're looking at. But in this case, it has a great feeling once you explain it. Yeah, we are. Right. That's the way it's in medicine. Yeah. And being your own cloud, you are your own cloud. Yes.
Yeah, I think we can, you know, I mean, it's so important for each of us to be true to who we are, because that's what we're going to offer the diversity of patients we see.
That's wonderful. So branding, marketing. Let's get there, because then you have models, you have pictures, you have the message, you have the distribution of the channels that you choose and all that stuff. Did you pick those? Did you have a team that or so you hire that?
Yeah, I listened to my team. I hired a branding company to help with the website design and kind of, you know, the Green Cloud logo and some of the branding with colors and fonts. I mean, all these things I didn't even realize. The problem is when you're in the very early stages, you have an idea of what you want your company to be, but it becomes so much more than what you think, right? So now that we're a year and a half in, I'm already thinking I need to rebrand, but I'm going to hold off because that can be very expensive. But like I feel like our colors maybe aren't bold enough, you know, so when you're starting, just keep that broad imagination, because you're going to learn so much more about yourself and the company as you go. So, you know, try to think things through, but we do the best we can until we know better, and then we do better. Right. So yeah, that's kind of where I started, and it's worked out.
I have to look at those bolder colors when they come out and the bolder patterns, because you just came out with a bold pattern. I think, you know, something that's not usual for medicine. Yeah. And that's wonderful. Tell me about your husband in this process, you know? Is he, how is he doing? Is he engaged with the company, or he's just looking at you from the distance?
Not as much as I wish he would be. He's kind of been like, this is your baby. He's very supportive. Like, he goes to UPS and the post office a couple times a day, you know, sometimes 10 times a day. Cause right now we are doing the distribution. At some point, and that's one of my exciting goals, is to be able to turn that over to a third party logistics, 3PL, they call it, where they will just take over all of the distribution. But for now it's us, which I think is very important in the beginning, to learn every aspect of your company inside and out. So I know exactly, obviously I'm seeing what's selling, I'm seeing what's being exchanged, you know, I'm handling all the customer service, helping with sizing. So it's, that part is very important to me. I'll be a little bit sad to turn it over, but that will just allow me to focus on other areas more.
Tell me about some lessons you've learned with exchanging clothing.
It's, unfortunately, there is no universal size anymore, right? Like, every brand.
Well, there is those crops that you fold three times under your belly.
Yeah, right. Yeah, just make them like make them big and everyone can wear them. But like, for example, if we say women medium, like, that's still between different brands. It means it's that part is tricky when you're a new company. I tried to make everything very true to size, but we did have to do a little adjustment after I started getting feedback. So I feel like we've gone through that phase for the most part. So when, you know, if someone reaches out and they're like, I don't know, this doesn't quite fit, then, you know, I ask them, what do you like? And sometimes what I'll do is say, let me just send you a box of whatever you think you make, because you need to try it on, and I'll send a return label and you can just send back what doesn't work. But I'd rather have you try a couple sizes than just one and say, this doesn't fit me, it's not for me, you know, because sometimes it is just putting a different size on and then it has a different, totally different look and feel.
And for your clientele, what's the best sold, the most sold size?
Medium and large.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where we are.
Yeah, but we have extra, extra small all the way to 3XL. And I do have a tech pack for 4XL and 5XL. But we're just not big enough to be able, because you have to make minimums, right? So hopefully we can, as we grow, we're ready to introduce those sizes too.
Which color is your favorite color?
It depends on my mood. So sometimes I do
when
like
you're a white cloud, a black cloud, or a green cloud day.
I love the red right now and the royal blue. I do like the bright colors, but then sometimes I just want the sand, which is kind of very soothing and classy looking. So, and even with the styles, they change. You know, when I made the new right pant, I was like, I will never wear any other pants. And then the other day I wore the Blackwell pants to work because I felt that's what I felt like wearing. So yeah, I love them all. And I do kind of rotate.
Tell me about your patients when they see you with your scrubs.
So this was really exciting. Cause I work emergency and patients are not, they're having one of their worst days if they're seeing me, right? And they're busy and they're annoyed. And I remember walking in a patient's room and he was on the phone and he looked up and he's like, oh my gosh, I need to go. The doctor just walked in. And I was like, okay, in 20 years, I've never had that happen. But I mean, in part of it, yes, I am dressed a little, maybe a little bit nicer than most working in the emergency department. I've been
way nicer. Come on. Who wears little ruffles in their scrubs?
I've been called the fancy doc now and then. But that was kind of exciting that, you know, and they notice and I think they feel a little bit better that, wow, this doc, you know, she's presenting herself like she cares. Like, I don't know. I think it's, you know, some of it may be implicit. I don't know, but I notice the patients notice. Consultants, I notice when consultants come down, they're kind of like looking me up and down, but like, I notice those little things, but it's mostly how I feel, right? Like I feel a little bit better. And then I'm okay with calling people out if I hear something I don't like, where before, you know, maybe I was just kind of, I'm going to stay quiet. I don't do that anymore.
Do you feel like you could fit in that TV show, What Not to Wear, these days?
They would probably still have a field day because I wear these mostly, you know, obviously all the times that I work, but then also days I don't work. So they may be like, ah, we need to have another wardrobe for you.
So you exchange a uniform now for your uniforms.
Exactly.
I had a hard time, you know, like growing up, I was in school going until, you know, through high school, it was uniforms all the time. And I just, you know, it was so much easier just to pick a uniform, keep going. And scrubs, you know, getting to the scrubs fashion, you know, if there's those two words go together, now they do, but with the regular scrubs and people just wear scrubs all the time. And you see men wearing scrubs and wherever they go and all this stuff, just because it's just easier.
Yeah.
But if you have something like that where you can not only work and then go out, you know, ideally, we would like to change out of our scrubs, leave them behind when you've had a working day in the areas that we do. But if that's not the case, these guys, this set of scrubs provide for you to be able to attend, you know, some certain functions, and you will be still presentable. Yeah. And then people will actually comment about it, say, oh, my goodness, those are, you know, scrubs. I love them and all these other compliments that come with them.
Yeah, because I mean, if I'm getting, I cover up, you know, I'll wear like the big gown if I'm going into any room, you know, so you're covered when you're exposed to things for the most part. But yeah, still after a shift, I like to come home and shower and change. But, you know, if I have to stop by the grocery store on the way to work, right, to grab some food for the 14-hour shift. Like, I'm okay running into the store and people aren't going to be like, oh, she's in scrubs, you know, stay away. Like, they don't even know.
So exactly.
That part's kind of fun.
Well, imagine that I'm an entrepreneur wanting to do the suits and I want to go into the fashion world as a physician. Mm-hmm. Any particular tips you might want to give me?
I think just start asking for help, right? Like, find people like-minded, maybe that have done it. I didn't have that many mentors. I mean, I hired the design team and branding team, but it would have been really nice to have another small business owner that's a couple years ahead of me to give me some tips, because I'm sure I would have maybe made less mistakes. So, you know, ask, find a coach or mentor, I think is so important. And then your gut will kind of tell you if this is feeling right or not. And when it doesn't feel right, don't sit in it, you know, make some changes until it feels right again.
So I'm pretty sure you're working more than 14 hours at a time doing this green cloud, plus the 14 hours that you're doing for your shift. How has having green cloud in your life changed the way that you go and present to your patients in your daily living, in your life as a physician?
You know, I thought I would stop working emergency medicine once I got the business off the ground. But I actually love it more now. I have a bigger purpose. And so when I go to work and I see other women wearing the green cloud, I mean, I feel like I'm there to sort of like help others. I have a bigger purpose in medicine than already the big purpose we have, right? So I do look forward to my shifts. And it is a nice balance. I mean, I work every Sunday and then every other Monday. And the rest of the month is dedicated to Green Cloud. So, you know, Sundays I work because I can't be doing packages because everything's closed. That's the rest day. So that's my ER day. So I'm not working a lot, but I really do enjoy the, I think I'm better because of the balance. The
Did company. You hear what you just better. Said? Your rest day is your ER day.
You yeah,
just
that's
called your emergency room day where you're like taking care of people who are dying, your rest day.
Yeah, but I'm enjoying it. It doesn't make sense to me even when I hear that back, but it's working for now.
So that's what I think, you know, entrepreneurship does for physicians. That's why we're teaching it, because you get that outlet where you can be creative. You can be in control of something that's more meaningful to you and others, and then come back and present yourself as a great physician to your patients, to your teams that are, you know, working with you every day. And that's what entrepreneurship has done for me when I've been burnout. That's why we're doing it. And you are like, you're saying it perfectly, beautifully. You know, as physicians, we really love to be in doctors for the most part. We don't want to leave medicine, even though we've been burnout. You felt like that. You felt, as I understood, that you didn't want to go back to medicine. And here you are, having the best rest day of your week doing emergency medicine. That's wonderful.
Yeah, no, and I hope others can do that too. You know, I mean, I'm lucky, but I worked more than full time in emergency medicine for over 20 years. So now that I'm working, you know, 50% clinical, I'm lucky I can do that. Some may not be able to do that yet, but start something small, just something that wakes you up. Like, what are you searching on your phone, on social media, on Twitter? Like, what are your passions outside of medicine? And then what can you do to sort of have fun with that? Maybe it's coaching, you know, maybe it's not another, you don't have to start a business. Not everyone's going to enjoy that. But whatever it is that keeps kind of knocking at you, like the scrubs did for me, you know, don't ignore it and don't think, oh my gosh, you know, I'm a doctor, I can't also do that. Like, yes, you can. Yeah. I mean, we've learned hard stuff, right? We've learned a lot, like we can figure things out.
Where can we buy Green Cloud?
So we're direct to consumer at this point. So it's all off of our websites. So greencloudapparel.com, and our, you know, social media, everything is Green Cloud Apparel.
All right. Do you have any physicians who are models?
Yeah. So that was interesting, because this is again where you have to, you take advice from others, but maybe that isn't always the right advice. So my design team was like, no, you 100% have to hire models. Because first of all, modeling is really hard. It's really hard. And then they're like, they just know how to wear the clothes, blah, 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 blah. So that was one of the mistakes I made, because over time, I have transitioned to have more and more real women in medicine as my models. And I think they do such an amazing job that I really only want to use them in the future, if I can keep finding women who will do this, because not everyone's comfortable modeling. But so now what we do is get, you know, 5 to 7 women is a good number for a photo shoot, and we make it a party, and you can just see it in the pictures. So from now on, yeah, we're just using women in medicine. I mean, I don't want to say only, because we may have a model now and then if I just need to get a new item shot, but I don't want to just use me. I want to use women in medicine.
That's awesome. Well, congratulations for your business. Thanks a lot for your time, your wisdom. Thanks for your service. You know, I know that that's been, your mom thanks you for being alive after that.
Yeah, I didn't do it twice. So yeah, she survived that one. It is really hard on moms.
Yeah. And we look forward to more of Green Cloud. See
Thank
you then.
Thank you so much.
Well, guys, that's it for today. I hope that you had a great time like we did with Dr. Lori Bosch from Green Cloud Apparel. You can actually find her clothing through greencloudapparel.com. I hope that you come and join us again. Share this episode. Share the love with everybody. Visit our website, maxallure.com, M-A-X-A-L-L-U-R-E, for more information about our entrepreneurship program for physicians. Have a great day. Thank you. See you later. Bye.
Please remember that Design is not providing specific financial, medical, or career advice. Our only intent is to stimulate your appetite for growth by sharing our experience and those of our speakers, coaches, and guests. Your personal growth and success will be unique to your circumstances and your hard work. We sincerely hope you enjoyed the show and look forward to seeing you next week.